We didn't have concept reports, so we just threw those together.
Yeah.
So maybe my brain's just not working today, or maybe I haven't heard of some of the stuff you guys are talking about.
Oh, yeah.
So I've heard application, and I have no idea what you're talking about on application. And I've heard concept report, and I've never heard of a two-page concept report, so I have no idea what you're talking about on a concept report.
That's fair. So back probably 12 to 15 years ago, it's actually been 15 or 16 years ago, the county grabbed, I mean, we had these big meetings with anybody who wanted to attend, and I remember who the engineer is that came in and helped us facilitate this, where they talked about problems, transportation problems, and they is like anybody who came, mm-hmm. public, anybody. And they had multiple meetings based on different types of projects, whether it was capacity, safety, studies, all that kind of stuff. And they threw everything up on the board, and there was a list. And it was probably about, in fact, I don't think it was broken up into capacity, safety, and studies. It was probably about that big.
Okay.
And that was it. And from that, we started the rule, the RTAC and the RTEC and the RPO and all that. And then it built into this list, but the idea was about halfway, maybe 8 years ago or 10 years ago, we said, well, before you put a project on this, there should be some kind of report that tells everybody what it is. Because we had things on here that nobody really knew what they were the way they were described. And so we said, well, let's do a concept report. And I think that's it right there. Isn't that a copy of it? No, that's your new concept, new application, right? That you're showing right
there. Is this the new one?
Yeah, this is the new one that we've been trying to develop.
So a concept report was like that, and you had to bring one. Well, we didn't make it mandatory. And you'd fill out a concept report, which was 2 pages, 3 pages long, and give it to Dave, and Dave would bring it to this group and put it on this list. So they're talking about and the problem is the same. If all of us died tomorrow and they had a new group come in, half of these things people would go, I don't even know what that means, because there's no data behind it, no background.
It's a good example, Kent, that you're like, I don't even know what we're talking about, because it was when Jonathan was here. So you hadn't heard any of this discussion, the same thing with you, like, and I bet there's some of the projects on there from the Ion County's perspective that you have no idea about. So if we had an attachment saying that has all this information, and it's 3 pages is what they've got there, but it's just something you can quickly fill out, and it gives a pretty good idea of what that project is, so anybody can pick it up from this list and go, oh, where's the concept for this, pull it up and go, oh, now I know what that is.
Yeah.
Okay, so the application and the concept with report are one and the same.
So we call it a concept report. He's changing, they're talking, maybe it's an application instead of a concept report.
Right.
It includes the concept so that this group can say, well, that's a trail behind Bill's house, and it's not connected to anything but Joe's house. I'm exaggerating, but that shouldn't apply to this because it's not regionally significant. So we have to, with this application, decide what is regionally significant, what that really means, so that we can actually put it on this list. And then it has meaning. Then it has some actual gravitas to it, so we can actually get money. That's the intent. Get money.
Not just a bigger list.
Yeah. But the nice part about this list is it's morphed over time. I mean, it's huge. But it's also nice to help those of us who've been putting this list together to remember, oh, yeah, that project is not new. That's part of our planning. And it allows us to see what other people are doing so that when we do have an issue, we can say, hey, let's do a study together.
Mm-hmm.
Or something.
So what did you figure out while I was running around like an idiot?
We're going to start over.
Sweet. So are you going to do some of the work that started us over? I'm joking.
So do we want to... I'm meeting with the county and Kimberly Horn more about this tomorrow afternoon. Do we want to postpone adding that stuff to this list until you all can review it and look over the application forms and everything?
Yeah.
That's probably a good idea.
Okay.
So basically, any new project coming on that we want to put onto this priority list would require an application once we approve the application form format, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would require an application that is submitted and reviewed by, at this point, the advisory committee. Once we review it and approve it, it would go to the ARCTEC to be put on the list.
Yes. And so.
And typically we don't, we can change the list anytime, but we try to do it annually and not every meeting.
Yeah. So I try to make notes that so all the yellow ones are ones we've been kind of working on. And we can postpone having the ARCTEC adopt this until we all look over these additional SS4A projects.
Right. Okay.
I don't think it'll hurt. There's nothing that says that it has to be done exactly every year. Sure. It's just a practice that we've been doing.
Okay.
In the past, was it approved?
The what?
In the past, we've done it once a year. What time frame is that?
So it's ARCTEC November to November. So the last one was approved November 6th of 2024.
Okay. So we're basically going to postpone that and say, let's look at this SS4A projects and get the concept report or application finalized and say, let's make this change out at the same time. Say, anything new on the list has to have this concept or application, and we're going to update the list, yes, but we're going to do it like probably a month or two later so we have time to review that.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Then I also wanted to make a couple recommendations. So that it's a very colorful list right now.
Yeah.
It's just kind of things that I've been working on and recommendations. So everything in yellow we have talked about at a previous meeting since last November. Everything in red are suggestions from since last time we met as this group. So I just wanted to go over.
So you do?
Yeah.
Is Eric done?
Eric, are you done? I'm sorry.
I'm done if you want me to be done. That sounds good to me. I think we'll probably after tomorrow, Nate, we'll be really close to an application that could be sent out, and next time you all meet can be discussed and reviewed. And then start that process that you detailed.
I know you mentioned that list of 29, you know, has at least 8 or 9 that are already on this list. Maybe just before it's sent to the group, those are highlighted or something, just so that everybody knows. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just a quick reference for everybody to already know that those are on the list.
On the application, yeah. Put project number, existing project number, because those project numbers are already listed on this on the left hand side. That's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah. All right.
So for clarification, Eric, are you going to send that out to this group, or are you going to give it to Nate and have him send it out?
I'll probably let Nate distribute to the ARCTEC as a official review, but I think after our meeting tomorrow, we'll be really close. Like I said, we found a few things as we were filling it out for these ones that, you know, maybe that's not necessary or change this or that. So we'll revise it and then give it to Nate. He can distribute.
So, Nate, from what you were saying a minute ago, it sounds like you would like to take the list for approval of ARCTEC in January, right? Their next meeting after the one we're not going to make it to because we're not acting on it today.
Yes.
That means we need to act on this list in December.
Yeah, or we can go a little for more cycle out. I'm just saying, recommending that for you. And then you decide what you want to do.
I think one of the reasons why we did it November to November is because we've been approving the quarter preservation list in February.
That makes sense.
And if the quarter preservation list comes off this list, it would be typical.
So if we could address the list in December in ARCTEC and get it to ARCTEC in January, then we could still meet that schedule.
Because we can only do the quarter preservation list once a year by state code. And we can do the quarter preservation list in February and have it ARCTEC approved in March.
Okay. So with that being the case, then whatever information we're going to get from Eric through you, however we're going to get it. Sounds like we need to be looking at that information and providing feedback prior to. I mean, we want that to be well ahead of our meeting on December 2nd or whenever that is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that we can come and actually vote on something on December 2nd.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got that down?
All of it. Yeah. I'll remember. I made a note. The important part is that he gets it. Yeah. And then when I say, hey, I need to add a project in the middle of nowhere, we can say, there's a proper way to do this.
Okay. May I go through and talk about my recommendations for you all?
Yeah, sure.
So the top one being, if you look at this little red bar on the top right, now I'm just going to pull it up on the monitor here. Share screen. How do I move this bar? There we go.
Nate, before you dive in, do you need JDRI for anything else, or
no?
Well, okay.
Unless you have something else important that you want to.
Do we have any?
No, I didn't know if you wanted to.
SS4A.
Also,
grant?
Have the dis. Oh, I'm sorry.
SS4A grant. Did we get any money yet, or is the government shut down?
No word that I've seen, and we're at the mercy of FHWA, so your guess is as good as mine.
Are we even allowed to talk about them since the government is shut down?
Yeah, well, I don't like know. Awesome. I don't even know. You know.
They're funded under the transportation bill, so FHWA is still mostly
at work. Still funded. I'm down to that.
So yeah, but there's no emails going out.
So they should be working. I don't know if they are.
There's just no emails going out back and forth, except for replies that say, I'm on vacation. Vacation.
How do I?
Not to add more confusion, though, Nate, but we are looking together at the corridor preservation process, too. I didn't know if you wanted to introduce that or not, or we'll just save that for,
I think we'll
for later. But if we need to review it, or if you all need to review it at the same time, that will be coming as well.
I think I would like to send both at the same time with an explanation. Both yeah. stuff out. I don't think we need to talk about that piece today, though.
That's a good yeah. idea. Send it to us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. We'll,
thank you.
Jade and I will drop off and enjoy your meeting.
Thank you. On the top here, RPO. We have RPO phasing and general phasing. I don't know a lot about the history of the RPO phasing. It's a much shorter. It's 1, 2, and 3. 1 is up to 2 years, then up to 6 years, then 7 plus. General phasing is what UDOT uses for their long-range planning. And for long-range planning, in my opinion, it makes a lot more sense when you're talking about funding packages and trying to get projects funded. I would suggest...
Did you change it to 10, 20, and 30? Was that already...
That's been there since I have been here. I want to suggest, especially as we get closer to as we're getting closer to becoming an MPO, removing this RPO phasing piece doesn't change anything other than information.
The reason we did that is to signify amongst ourselves, because a bunch of these projects are not UDOT projects.
Oh, okay.
And so they're typically going to be because we're phasing it that way.
Okay.
As an organization, not necessarily have anything to do with UDOT.
Okay. And then
that's why everything has a 1 on it.
Well, it was just kind of like prioritizing them, right?
Prioritizing amongst ourselves. Yeah.
Okay.
And we all put 1s on everything in the first place.
Right.
Then we changed it over time. Like, this is important to us now.
Anyway.
Without realizing that that's not possible now.
So that makes sense. I highlighted C19. This is a discussion I had with Chris as he was looking over the map that I made. C19 is the upgrade Summit Interchange. It's not on the UDOT plan. It's really close to the future Enoch Interchange.
Don't say that too loud. It's really close? No. We don't want people to think it's really close. We want any interchange to come faster.
Yes, I think everybody does. So my thought was removing this one off the list. It's probably not going to happen within the next 30 years. Or changing it. Or changing it to an unfunded, what UDOT calls unfunded, which doesn't have any kind of.
This is one of the
planning priorities.
This is an example of one of the things that was in that initial meeting that we had 15 years ago.
Yeah. And I guess that's why I'm recommending we take it off, because I know UDOT's not going to fund this one. There's way higher priorities. We've got Peril, we've got the new one in Enoch.
Well,
way more priorities that we would ever fund if we ever get funding for it. So from UDOT's perspective, it doesn't make sense to put this on the list because we're not going to fund it. If the county or somebody else says, hey, this is something that's priority to us and we're going to try and fund, that's great. We can leave it on the list. But from UDOT's perspective, that's so far down the list that it doesn't make sense to even
have. And really, when you look at the history, this came up because the belt route, there was an argument and a fight between the county and Enoch City to get the belt route to go different places. And this is where the county engineer wanted it, was some interchange. Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing when the new traffic demand model comes out, it's just going to show that it's needed in Enoch years before any upgrades are needed at that interchange.
Well, and you see, that's why RPO phasing was 3. Because it was like,
okay.
I'm good with taking it off because the county's good with it.
I'm okay. There's no infrastructure for growth there anyway, so I don't see why you need to upgrade the interchange.
Is it on your plan?
I have never heard of it being part of any plan.
Okay.
Well, and that other one in Enoch would take a lot of the demand off that interchange anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right?
So yeah.
Almost all of it.
Yeah.
Unless you live in Summit. Before you do take any of these off, we ought to run it by the ARTEC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is just for this discussion before we make all the changes and put it through ARTEC.
C23, A, B, and C was one project. UDOT wanted to see that as 3 different projects because they're not going to be funded all at the same time.
Basically, there's one project right now that was on the list from Cedar all the way to Parowan. And UDOT will be funding those because they're I-15. And realistically, we're not going to fund that entire project at once. It's going to be broken up into sections. So this will probably more accurately represent the projects that may be funded. And it may need to be broken down more in the future, but those are better phases of what might be funded.
So you're saying that's broken down from what it was before.
Yeah,
so you broke it into ABC.
Yeah, so essentially it was all one project to C23, but we would never fund that full project, so we want to kind of give anybody that looks at the list understanding that we're not going to try and fund that big of a project. It's going to be broken down into pieces.
So you're not going to have $250,000 all in.
Yeah.
Or for $1 billion, then?
Yeah.
So this does not include the southbound lane on the part where we're getting the additional northbound lane now. Right?
No.
Looking at those mileposts?
No, it does not. So.
So that's being kind of skipped over?
Yeah, because that one project was just from Cedar to Parowan. And so we do need to probably look at some projects to say we need the southbound lanes from the South Cedar interchange there. But yeah, that is something that we currently don't have a lot of on the UDOT long range plan. There's really not addressed on the RPO plan. But I think that should be added at some point, saying this will be needed in the future and put a project in there.
Certainly lower priority than the northbound.
Yeah.
With that grade.
Yep.
So, but okay. I was just looking at the the third lane northbound and southbound, because we have a pair of ones, it's like, well, we're doing that, why aren't we picking up this other piece?
But Chris, where are we looking for phasing on this? Phase one, two, three?
Right now it's unfunded, we don't have enough money. But I think that's going to change. Hopefully with this next update, we'll probably try and get at least some of them in phase two, but I don't know. Phase two and three, possible. Because if you look at capacity models, I-15 through this area is probably okay just on capacity models, but if you drive it and are going off of delays, we're going to want to do that sooner rather than later. So
okay. I not remember C-29 2400 North Nichols Canyon Road to SR-130. I don't remember which one that is.
That's where it goes through where the old North Interchange used to be.
Under the freeway.
Under the freeway.
Oh.
Basically, connection between SR-130 and...
I don't even remember what my question was on this one. So
well, it's done, isn't it?
Maybe that's
partially.
What it was. Is
there
it funded?
Part of it that's done.
Moved to funded? Is it funded no. or...
None of it's not done.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll just...
We picked up a little bit of widening with the development project this last year, but there's still quite a bit that needs to be done there, including some work underneath the freeway.
Okay. I'll remove that from...
And that may need to come in conjunction with the mainline widening through that stretch when it happens. Right. As we look at the potential that those bridges may need to be replaced as part of the widening to accommodate the additional lanes, that would probably be the time to get the full width underneath.
Nichols Canyon, I think those new structures should accommodate the three lanes on I-15.
The existing structures?
Yeah, because we just replaced those, 2 years ago, and I think
Built
them wide enough for the three lanes.
Okay. Then we probably just need to look at what's going on underneath and see if we can get what we need with however the supports are there currently. Okay.
Okay. Moving down to transportation alternatives. The first, basically these are like recreation projects, the ones that I have in red. That doesn't make sense, a lot of sense to be on this plan. It might make sense to be on the county's recreation plan or something like that. But we're generally seeking funding for stuff with pavement. Or except for there, I guess there is a couple, like the stormwater drainage and curb and gutter. I wasn't sure what that was. Or the shoulder beautification. That's like landscaping. It's like a south entry features. That's like a landscaping thing.
Yeah, and so all three of those came from a study that Brian had did with UDOT for 143. And so I think they just added them to the list. But I just don't know if they're applicable for this list. Because they're great projects, and I think Brian Hitt still wants to do them. I think UDOT still supports them. But are they regionally significant for shoulder beautification of Brian Hitt? That should be a local project and not a regional project.
And then TA-9 Coal Creek Backbone, is that a paved trail? Is that like a paved multi-use trail, or is it dirt, or does anybody know about that?
That was a multi-use trail going. That's probably what has driven the Utah Trail Network study they're doing right now.
Okay, that
one. Didn't that get put in?
Well, Coal Creek Backbone was with segments to other communities. The segments to other communities hasn't been put in, but the Utah Trail Network just approved the alternative to go down 91, and down Northfield Road.
Old Oak?
Down next to the freeway. Uh-huh. To Coal Creek.
Yeah.
So are we calling that funded or keep on the list?
That's just a feasibility study.
I can remember the connection, but that's right.
That was a feasibility study. Yeah. So this was put on there probably, if it's TA9, it was probably put on there when we first started this list. And it was just one of those ideas that somebody threw. You should connect all the communities using Coal Creek and the trail there as the backbone
to
move
everybody together, which is the Utah Trail Network. So they said, hey, we should build.
So it is a transportation alternative.
Okay, it's a good idea.
It's not ATV, it's not motorized, it's just walking and biking.
So that one is regional. I think this one would be good to, the TA9 would be good to break up into smaller projects that we know could be happening, like fundable projects, rather than that giant one.
You haven't even looked at Southbound.
I'm going to put a note on here. Consider into multiple projects.
I mean, it's a great idea, but there's no context or definition to that.
Which needs some kind of report or application or something.
This is the next one, TA1 Transit.
Move off of that. Chris, as far as you know, what's UDOT's view on the future of the TAP funding? Because, I mean, we don't even have any funding to go out for project applications this year through the Joint Highway Committee.
So the region has some TAP funds, and so you should get emails once a year to apply for it. We get, I think, like $150,000 or $200,000, and it's federal dollars. So it's really hard to spend $200,000 because if you're doing a federal requirement for sidewalk,
for
$200,000 you get a block and a half of sidewalk, maybe, for $200,000.
By the time you get through design and environmental, you don't even have that.
Yeah, and so we struggle with it. So we usually save it up a little bit and then try and wait until we have enough money to actually fund a decent project, and then we take applications. But I think we've been sending out every year, and we just don't fund them if there's not good fits for the funding we have. So that is there. It is available. In fact, Cedar City got some of that TAP funding to connect by the roundabout the sidewalks over the overpass there. So that was TAP funding through that process. So there is that funding available through the region, and so it doesn't, because the region basically does those applications to the Joint Highway for that little section of federal funding. And I think it's a holdover because in the past, we switched the TAP out for state funds, and so we could do these small projects and we passed the money through and so you get much better prices, and so it went a lot further. And then other states said, we don't do that, and so Federal Highway said, you can't do that anymore. So we're stuck with a small pot of money that's really difficult to do anything with because we can't switch it out for state dollars anymore. In the past, we just switched it out and said, hey, this is more useful now, but we can't do that anymore. So there was basically a shift in the past 2 years that we've been trying to react to TAP now being federal dollars and trying to make it still useful.
So what needs to happen to get the TAP program to be more useful, to be better funded? I mean, the last state I was in, the TAP program was pretty robust. There was a lot of money in the TAP program, federal funds in TAP. Is that just a matter of what the Transportation Commission has prioritized, or what needs to happen to get? I mean, just my city, there we were doing, on average at least $500,000 in TAP projects each year. So just our city, and then that there's the whole rest of the state that was on top of that.
Yeah,
there was a lot of funding there.
Because the MPO gets $400,000 or so of TAP, like the Dixie MPO. So the MPO, we get our formula funds for the TAP program for the state, and we divide them up with the same formula that we do for other funding. So the MPOs get a bulk of that TAP funding, and then the rural areas get the little sliver that's left, and then we divide it up between the four regions. So there's really not a big pot in the TAP. So once you become the MPO, you'll get your slice of that federal funding just for the MPO area, so you'll get more. But as of right now, the way the formula is set up for that funding, the rural areas just don't get
so
the TAP.
There's the difference then. The TAP funding in Idaho did not go through the MPOs. There was a statewide TAP program that jurisdictions across the state would apply for.
Okay.
And that's a lot different than
so I think that's what set up in Utah is that the MPOs manage the TAP for their area and they get their percentage based on population, and I'm not even sure how they distribute the TAP. So that's probably why.
Okay.
But the Transportation Commission does often put money into active transportation projects, but it's a different application because it's state funds. And so it's the TIF active, so you can still nominate projects like the TAP stuff, and it's state funds, and there's not a set amount they award every year. It's just based on the quality of projects and what funding they have available. They vary that every year. So there is still state funding for these. It's a 60-40 match. So the local government stuff comes up to 40%. The state pays 60%.
Hmm.
If you want to nominate a project like that for the TIF active.
Okay.
So there's two different pots that are available for a program like that. So.
Right. Looking at these projects you've got on that list right there, a lot of those are just old projects that were on the previous lists forever. I'm thinking if we can come together and say, some of these are done. Establish ATV routes between communities. I mean, the county's done that in a lot of ways right now.
Well, but the routes haven't been built. They're on a map.
But, right.
Do we want to call
some
it a
built
trail?
Some are built.
Yeah.
And some are using.
Define built when you're talking ATV. I mean, what does that look like?
Well, you can see where it goes.
You can see the two tracks off the side of the road. Okay.
Yeah.
There's actually a bunch to.
Like if I was on an ATV, I would know where to go. That's it.
There's a bunch that are mapped out. Like you can go from Enoch to Bryanhead right now.
I know, and some of them are like literally following old Highway 91. And are you supposed to just drive on the road, or is there going to be something built on the side?
They're not.
That's the one I was thinking of because it's become a problem, as people have said, where is the designated trail? I'm like, it's right there. And they're like, where do you go?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if something is going to be built or what.
And BLM has built a bunch of ATV routes that are mapped on their system.
Mike Worthen has gotten a lot of grants and been building.
I'm just wondering if that's an example. Establish ATV routes between communities. What does that even mean? And maybe that should be better described, better report, better, you know, really, really come down to see what that really means.
Like, how do you know if you've actually accomplished that and succeeded?
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't know how to change that on this list, because right now it doesn't do anything. It just sits there.
My recommendation would be to take these off of our list because they're not a paid type project, and present them to whoever does outdoor rec in the area and say, hey, these have been on our priority list for a long time. They don't make sense for the transportation group.
I see your point, but I don't know. I'm just thinking maybe a better description personally. I don't mind them. I think they're fine on the list, but they need to get projects that are actually wanted enough to put an estimated cost on it, at least.
TBD.
Without an estimated cost, there's that's nice. So I'm kind of wavering between that idea of just taking them off and giving them to somebody else.
Well,
because these are alternatives to take people off the road.
Off the roads. I guess they still meet that.
Which is beneficial to everybody.
And so maybe we take them off and send out an email saying these were on here, but we don't have enough information. If you want them back on the list, please provide project details or what, so I guess some more context for them so we put them back on there with information.
I'm fine with that.
please complete the application.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Well, another groups are going to come. The thing is it says all on there because we were at the time just saying, well, who's doing this? Who's going to establish the ATV routes between communities? Well, I'm not going to do that for heroin. Sorry. I apologize.
What? What am I paying for, Rob?
But there may be an ATV community that wants to be sponsored, that will sponsor, or will sponsor their project through whatever format we can to take pressure off of the roads. Anyway, mm-hmm. I think that's fine.
When I put together the minutes or the minutes for this, I'll draft an email with these projects and say, hey, will you distribute this to your local ATV groups?
Yeah.
Does that work?
And I think to Chris's point, it would maybe be tailoring it to some of those ATV groups may say, you know what, there's this segment that we just really need a connection on, and then it's more palpable to be able to put a dollar amount to it to say, this is the segment we really want to focus on next.
Good call.
Focuses effort to the right spot instead of making it so broad that everybody's like, oh, we'll eventually get to that, but nobody ever does anything.
TA 13, establish a connection to the high.
I moved to
the High Desert Trail.
Oh, TA 13, establish.
That's just a question right there. Is that done?
Establish a
High Desert Trail. That's up east, and I think BLM's done that.
I know there's a connection in Beaver County. Oh, thanks.
There's connections up on top that they got wiped out with the fire that got to get reestablished, though. They're lost in the Forest Service.
But that's all Forest Service and BLM.
They're wanting to work. The Forest Service specifically is wanting to work with Bryanhead, Parowan, the county to reestablish them. They're not going to reestablish them themselves. They want to work with us.
So that would be something the county.
But that's not something that needs to be on this list.
Right. So in the county, if they just have a program or something in place, they can put it back on the list. If that's
they've talked about coordinating it at the Bryanhead Trails Committee, I think. If I'm not wrong.
Okay. Okay. TA1, bus stop shelters throughout Bryanhead. I just moved this. I thought it was a better transit project than transportation alternative.
That one, I think they got some TIF first mile, last mile funds to do that one. So that one
that's
funded.
Funded.
They were doing the shelter, or at least some of the shelters, and some crosswalks with the funding they got.
Okay.
So you might want to just coordinate with Bryanhead to say, is that one completely funded, or is there still more work that they plan on doing?
I'll set up a meeting with Brett, because there's a whole bunch of Bryanhead projects on here.
Okay.
Then the next thing is, as I highlighted the header here for funded / construction and completed. And I know those are different things, but generally, this we're looking at funded. So to me, completed and funded means the same thing for this list. I don't know if you all see it that way.
Say that again.
So I think there's some value because in UDOT's time frame, you can have a funded project, but it could be funded out 3 years. So it's good to have their say.
Or four.
Or four. Or five. Sometimes the Joint Highway Committee. So knowing that they're there, but also once they're in construction, it's like, yeah, they're being built. But until they're open and functional, then they're completed. So I think there's value in that just based on the time frame, because from the time it's funded to the time it's complete, maybe 6 or 7 years, so differentiating them has some value, at least in my mind. For UDOT projects, I think at the local government, that is often much smaller of a window. It's usually they're funded, designed, they're built, and completed, usually in a much shorter time frame.
Sometime over the next year, I'll meet with everybody, and we'll talk about these projects individually, and I'll just put them in this correct spot then. if that's okay. Is that okay?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. That's all.
Good work. Good job.
Thanks.
That's pretty good. Thank you for doing this. Most of us would have sat on it for a long time.
Well,
we're busy.
Feel like this is my job to help organize this. So.
We got to get it fixed before Rob goes anywhere because he's looking to figure out the institutional knowledge.
Yeah. I just learned a whole bunch from him today about how this all started.
You're still here for 20 years, aren't you?
At least 10. Unless they fire me. Now I'll work for Dan and Perwin.
Hires.
He might even offer you more money.
Well, I don't even have more money. You get fired as a city manager and you want to stay, live in the same house you live in, you pretty much have to take whatever job you're going to get. Because the city manager, there's not a lot of them around. I wait for Paul Bittman to retire.
It could be a while. He's not very old.
No.
He's just
okay.
Just
a kid. Okay.
That was number six.
We have a quorum. We have a quorum.
Yeah.
Yeah. We start at the beginning of the agenda.
We start at the beginning. Thanks for being here, Dan Jensen. We sure appreciate you.
We should get to the action items because I do have to leave at 3:30. For some reason, if we don't get done.
Okay. So if you want to make a motion to approve August 5th.
I would make a motion to approve the minutes from August 5th, 2025.
Do you have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion from Dan Jensen and a second from Chris Hall to approve the August 5th, 2025 minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Member?
Yes, you
yep.
are.
Aye.
Thank you. Cedar
you
Valley.
Yeah, we don't have a quorum.
Cedar Valley Belt Route Corridor Preservation. So Rich Wilson from the county has given us a application. Is that what we're calling it? We better call everything an application. He's requesting corridor preservation funds to purchase a segment of property. As a reminder, corridor preservation funds cannot be used for construction, which is for preservation or corridor, and the product has to be a willing seller, and there has to be an appraisal done on the property. And the application this year is 7.36 acres. It doesn't mean you have to buy it for the appraised price. As we learned in Enoch, you can buy it for whatever they're willing to sell it for. And the information is in front of you.
Can you pay more than the appraised price or just less?
I think you can pay less. Appraised price or less.
Appraised value is $150,000.
Mm-hmm. And they're asking for the appraisal too, closing fees, etc. $151,500.
Now, if this were approved and in their continuing negotiations they agree to pay for something else, that would just have to be on them. They wouldn't get any more funds
right.
here.
Right.
They could still pay whatever they wanted for it. They're just not going to get any more funds than this.
Right.
Okay.
And also, if the appraisal, if they purchase the property for less than is granted to them, in the end, they send the remaining money back to the corridor preservation fund. Or it could be in an agreement, potentially, like Brian Head. Remember when that happened? Cedar Highlands. The county purchased property. The corridor, they ended up not moving the corridor, so the funding went back to the corridor preservation fund, if I recall correctly. No, they bought the property, they moved the road to a different area, and they sold some of the property. Is that right, Dan? Were you there when the Cedar Highlands did that?
So what happened was they bought the property with corridor preservation funds, then the town unincorporated.
Oh, that's right.
So there's a process by which you have to jump in and file something with the judge who's disposing of the city assets to claim it back. So I jumped up and down, made sure that the county filed that paperwork. The county got the property back. The county has not yet sold the property.
Okay.
But when it sells, the money will come back in. And I've let everybody know at the county before I left. Reed is one of the few who knows. And so
now
is Luke.
What's the property?
There's two lots. Right as you get out of BLM property, in the first two lots in Cedar Highlands, they're not buildable lots. The reason why the county bought them was to realign the road and then to sell off the newly created parcels. But the realignment didn't happen, and before that could happen, the town was unincorporated, and the property would have gone to be sold by a judge. So, and I've talked to Reed a couple times about, hey, maybe let's just go ahead and do this, and he's like, well, no, wait, we're doing, Reed can give you more information, but that's the kind of institutional knowledge that will help to know.
So in other words,
he's checked everything, all the criteria.
And on this one, I do know that there probably is something similar to the extent where the property that's proposed for purchase is more than just the bell route.
Yep.
It includes an additional chunk that would probably in the future potentially be sold to an adjacent landowner. So I would assume the sale of that property would then be put back into the
quarter preservation. It needs to be.
So we need property purchased by the county. It means any additional extra is sold, it goes back into the county.
And notification in the application with what's his name? Kimberly Horn?
Eric.
Aren't they working on that?
Yeah, they are.
You might want to talk to them about that to make sure it's notified in the application that any sale of property that's been purchased by that funding needs to go back to Gordon Preservation Fund. I'm not sure it's
right.
Signing that application.
Well, yeah, and
I'll
so
look at that. Okay.
So it needs to be sold, and then the money needs to go back to the Corridor Preservation Fund, or if the city or the county decides to use that, then they need to reimburse the Corridor Preservation. But no, they can't do that because it has to be used for
transportation
corridor. So, okay.
So they could like probably use it for something transportation related if they wanted to.
But nonetheless, the money of equal value would need to be.
I think to keep it clean, it should just revert back to the Corridor Preservation Fund. You sell any of the property you purchased. Because that's got
to
go back to
the
fund.
Yeah.
That's only fair to everybody who has their potential hand in the.
Is it possible to put some sort of deed restriction or something when you record that property to say if it's ever sold, the proceeds have to go back to this fund? So I think that'd be the cleanest way because sometimes that property sits for 10, 15 years and nobody's around to remember, and they're just like, oh yeah, we own this, and we'll sell it and use it to build the park. It's like, well, that's not what the fund.
So
you've got to give the money back.
We did something just similar with Parowan, with the bridge, and we gave them a year to come up with a plan on that.
Mm-hmm. But is there a deed restriction recorded on the property?
No.
We just
voted that way, and it's in the minutes.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
We should probably do the same, just out of fairness.
Well, this is a little bit
but
different.
You're right.
The Parowan was thinking about using the property for not transportation purposes.
Oh, okay.
And so this is all. It was they had to buy the whole parcel for the roadway.
We have yet to determine and come up with a plan of what how the property will be used, other than the piece we needed. This was just a. So this probably ought to just be turn around and flip.
Yeah.
That should be our recommendation. It's approved with the understanding that the, let's call it the child, the extra parcel, will be
the remnant
will be.
Let's look at it right there.
Return.
Let's see it right there.
Oh, right here. Did you want to see the map again?
No, they're doing the whole parcel.
No, so it's the road and then the remnant.
Oh, right
here on the east side.
Okay.
So you're buying this portion here, like that?
Yeah, so essentially everything from the roadway east.
Okay.
How many acres is the remnant?
I want to say it's about 3 acres.
Okay, so it's usable acreage, especially by the property owners that are next to it.
Well,
maybe.
Probably not, because of access.
Well, but if they incorporate it into their property next to them.
Well, but I also think, too, the one next to it might be ag, and I don't know, depending on the shape of that, if it's really that viable to do.
But that'll be determined when you sell the property,
yeah.
If it has any value or not.
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions about this?
Billboards.
You go billboards.
Make you a lot more money than going down Alpha.
Any other question? Do you have any questions there?
So is the road going like this then?
I don't think so. Dan, any questions?
No, it's going north.
Oh, like that. I see.
Any question about this?
Who did the appraisal? Do we have the appraisal?
Mm-hmm. Right there.
Who was it?
Keep going up. It was, no, go down. That's it right there. It was,
here we go.
Michelle.
Is that good or bad?
As a former auditor, I would think that there would be it would be a good practice to use different appraisers, not always the wife of the engineer. Just saying. Looks a little bit self-dealing.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't connect that.
I always used to say the same thing to Steve Platt whenever we would hire Platt and Platt to do something, and he'd say, they're in the queue. They come up every once in a while. And I say, okay, just making sure.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It'd be a procurement thing. No, technically,
I'll entertain a motion.
Patsy to do it, but it just doesn't look great. I will make a motion that we approve the use of corridor preservation funds for the county's purchase of Cedar Valley Belt Route property, with the caveat that the extra parcel be sold off, be divided and sold off, and the funds returned to the fund.
I'll second that.
Okay. I have a motion by Dan Jessen, a second. My gosh.
Starts with K.
Can't. Can't do well. Sorry, Dan.
It's all right.
The application for corridor preservation funds made by the county to purchase property be approved, with the property not used for the corridor be sold and returned to the fund.
No recommendation to RTAC?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's what you meant, wasn't it, Dan?
That's what I meant, too.
And that's what he meant, and so that's what we meant. Recommendation. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Annual schedule for the 2026 calendar year.
I gave you two handouts for that.
Oh, my goodness.
So, it's by fiscal year. That's why it starts with July, so it looks like this. They look like this. So this one here, I just made a calendar of things that we typically do during that cycle. I thought it would help us all out, especially me.
I don't think I have that one. Thank you.
Starts with July because that's the AOG fiscal year. Grabbed the wrong thing.
When we say July, are we talking July 26th?
This one's just general, but on this page we're really looking at, I didn't update the dates, February meeting 2026, Canaryville, April 2026, Cedar.
So those dates are still correct, it's just the years, just a misprint.
Yeah, I didn't update the dates on this, but I need to go through.
All that work you go through and you miss one little thing.
Yeah, 2026. These need to be changed to the appropriate, the first Tuesday and first Wednesday of each month, but there were some recommendations. So October, maybe we should think about moving this a week later because of the One Utah Summit. People like to attend that.
So it's the first Tuesday?
Our TAC is first Tuesday of every month. Our tech is first Wednesday of every month. But I would even like, if we can, move the our tech to the and COG to the first.
So we do
Tuesday
need to
well.
We need to update all of the dates.
Yes.
It's not just the year. You want me to give them to you right now?
That's fine. Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, so the ARTAC meetings are the first Tuesday, which would be February 3rd.
Okay.
April 2nd. And I mean, sorry, 7th.
I will reprint and send this to you.
June 2nd.
Okay.
August 4th. October 6th.
Except do we want to move that to the week after the One Utah Summit?
Why, you go to the Utah Summit?
I try not to. But Dan goes.
I just was there that I don't like to go.
What is the One Utah Summit?
It's See, there you go.
Governor's
we don't need to do
it's
that.
It's the governor's big thing. Yeah. No.
October 6th.
It's big. It's sometimes cool, but a lot of fluff. For you, nothing good comes out of it. No. December 1st. But I don't want to pass judgment
first.
And then our tech.
So I have a question about this, actually. I'm also supposed to be doing transportation planning in the St. George metro area. And we also have a meeting on the first Wednesday. Is there, I mean, I can continue to do this because this is my main thing here. But if we could move this to the...
Talk to the ARTEC.
Yeah,
okay. Have to ask them at the next meeting.
Okay.
See if they're able to move it to Tuesday.
Okay.
So let's assume that
it's just we did the COG at the same time.
Right.
And that was just typically Wednesday, but.
Is there any reason why you couldn't move COG too?
We would want to.
It's a new fiscal year. Let's change them all to Tuesday.
I don't want to stir the pot too much, though.
Let's just assume that it's moving.
Okay.
And then if not, everybody can move it by one day. So that would be January 6th, March 3rd, April, sorry, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. Iron County better feed us some tacos.
Do you know what? Cedar City needs to change their budget meeting time.
July 7th? Agreed.
Can you talk to them about
that? Accept that motion.
September
1st.
Don't do it on Tuesdays.
I don't think I have any.
If we move it to Tuesdays, it won't be the same day.
Yeah,
November 3rd.
It would, those would normally be on
November
Wednesday.
3rd? What was November the September?
3rd. September 1st.
Yeah.
So if we keep our same pattern and this goes to Tuesday, we should be fine.
Hey.
When is view.com?
Then there's no recommendations at this time for the members. That's at a different meeting. So this is just for the dates of the meeting. So I can post the calendar. So I can get the calendar approved and posted on the public stuff.
We need to change Reed, probably.
Oh yeah,
Brett. I need to change my email address.
And change my email address.
So Chris, emails. The UDOT conference or the Utah Transportation Conference this
right.
year is up last week of October. Is that typical now that it's been shifted to there and away from the first week of November?
I think it goes back and forth all the time, and I never know.
Okay.
They always struggle because they get complaints when they do it October, because then it interferes with the deer hunt. And so they switch to November, and then I don't know what complaints to get there, and so
it's back
and forth.
That one's changed.
Okay. It was in November forever, and then it started popping up in October.
Yeah.
EnochCityUT.gov, CedarCityUT.gov, and Parowan.gov.
Okay.
And Iron County.
.ut.gov, right?
Not .ut, just Iron County.
Iron County.gov.
I have all of your emails.
IronCountyUT.gov.
Yeah. I'll go get in there and update these.
There's only one Palin city in the country, so. If you want UT, and I'm like, no.
Well, there's only one email, too.
For now. You're saying you are the city of Enoch?
Enoch City.
Well, it might go up from the face of the earth.
It's very small.
It's not in a positive way. It's not the city of Enoch either, because he doesn't live there. Something people say the city of Enoch. No, this isn't his city. This is Enoch City. City of Springdale. No, it's Springdale City. Okay. Thank you. Transportation Expo. You all ready? Everybody ready? Got your stuff together?
So, as far as the logistics of this, I had a call today from Jason Clark over at the Heritage, the Festival Hall. Anyway, he was looking for information to be able so that his staff can do whatever they need to do to set stuff up for us. So
have you talked to him?
I don't know.
Gave them a call a few weeks ago, but I'm coming tomorrow and I have like an hour of doing nothing because I have to meet somebody at the One Utah Summit that's here and then I have a meeting with them. So I'll go over in between and talk with them.
Okay. I'll let Jason know to expect that.
Okay, around 1 o'clock.
Okay.
If that time doesn't work, I'll arrange a time to work with him.
Okay.
Or will you let me know if that 1 o'clock doesn't work? How do you want to do this? Do you want me to call, or do you want to call, or?
Well, I guess you could call. But anyway, I just told him that he'd hear from one of us. I told him we'd talk about it this afternoon at this meeting, and he'd hear from us. So. But if he hears from us sometime tomorrow, that's fine.
So do we have a layout of the tables and where they're going to be?
I was told they're around the perimeter.
Okay. Because yeah. Carol brought this up, and I think she's still on, but we really need to assign cities or
it's
booths.
Important that you have it's important that you have a map.
A map.
So that the people walk in to set up, they know this table is Parowan City, this table is Enoch City, this table is UDOT, this table is whatever, because if it's not organized before they get there to set up, you'll have people getting upset with each other, feeling like they've been stuck in a corner, or nobody, I should have been here and you were there, or I put my stuff there and then I walked out to go to the bathroom and I came back and somebody took the table.
Can I have the corner?
So,
okay, I'll
you need to have them assigned
when you get the table set up.
I'll do that. I'll talk to them tomorrow about that, and I'll tell them to put Enoch or Parowan in the corner.
what time is set up?
However long you need.
We have the room all day.
We do.
Okay. Yeah. I told all the people that I was in charge of contacting that they could come 2 hours before to set up. So they'll be there starting at 1 o'clock, maybe 1, because it starts at 3, right? So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is the room at the very north end, the yeah. large one.
The large kind of triangular room at the far north end, yes.
I did ask for them to put some tables in the center. And in the hall, one on the hallway for sign-ins, and I'm going to have a comment card, a stack of comment cards available at all booths for those who want them. And I will have a comment card receptacle at my table, and I'm going to put one by where you're sitting too.
At the reception.
And that way, if they fill one out and then they're walking out, and they didn't sign up, we can say, hey, put it down your email and name and stuff.
So this is the okay. sign-up sheet that Carol did.
Yeah.
Just name, city, email.
Is that all you want? Did you need something else?
Name, city, email.
at the end of the night, I'll give you a stack of those that are completed so you can do your own compilation and save them however. Then I'll do a manual count as they come in also and give you a per hour breakout of how many people came in per hour and a total at the end of the night and all that kind of stuff. So you'll have all those details for future planning. And then the CC. Yeah, other than just the map of what you do, because mostly people will come to me at the front desk and say, which table am I? So either need to put papers on each table to say this is what where you're located, or you need to have a drawing that says these are all the tables and you know, post it like on the door or something like that so that they can go there and look. So there's no questions.
I'll make a map and maybe put them around. Great suggestion.
Because if you meet with them tomorrow and they say, we'll put up these many tables in this spot, then you just jot it down and just we'll write them in. So everybody's assigned beforehand.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that would work.
Is
Kimmy Horn going to be there?
I don't.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't know. They're doing the design for the Iron Springs.
Yeah. Oh,
maybe so they may be there for that Iron Springs road for the county.
I'm going to see if I can get those interconnectivity study maps, the options, printed tomorrow.
Okay, I was going to print off our most recent transportation plan with the modifications that have been made within Cedar City since the plan was first published.
And I've got someone printing the ones that Avenue Consultants had of the Master Transportation Plan.
Yeah.
I've got five of those being printed, like this.
Okay.
And it doesn't say Master Transportation Plan on it. It's just like heat maps and random stuff. We'll look at it when I bring.
I also made name tags for everybody in matching lanyards, so the public will know who's actually
official,
who's supposed to be at the booths. I think that's really important.
Are we supposed to wear a particular color of shirt or something so they can recognize?
Yes.
Everybody has to wear a pink shirt.
I wore mine today. I can't wear it on Thursday.
I think it's important just because sometimes you get people who are their community champions and they feel like they can give the public all the information.
Mm.
So,
Malcolm Gladwell would call them mavens.
Any other recommendations, Carol?
They're going to say something one way or the other.
Any other recommendations?
It would be important that you maybe reach out last minute, reach out to all your city councils and whatever, because that was who you wanted to know that you were having this. I know most of them will be at that one Utah Summit thing. But, if you could force them to come for a little while just to see whatever everything is, at least that'll be a good base to work from for next year. And, we'll see how they want to maybe partner with us or do more next year and make this grow a little bit year to year. But a last minute phone call usually helps to remind folks that that's what's happening, especially since they're so busy, right?
Yeah, so you can send like our email or something to the county commissioners, say, hey, this is a reminder. It would be great to do it to all the city councils and prospective mayors since Cedar and Enoch will both have new mayors. All the ones running, saying it's a good opportunity for you to learn possibly have a new job.
Yeah, I've invited everybody that has any connection whatsoever to Enoch City Government.
And the one Utah Summit will be over, so that I think that was kind of accounted for.
So we have city council meeting tomorrow night, so I'll bring it up from there. I know there was some discussion in our active transportation committee meeting yesterday. Someone was going to reach out to the candidates. The candidates are almost all going to be there at city council meeting too, probably. Yeah. So they're already going to hear about it.
you double your attendance at city council when people are running for city council, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. It's like, when they're running, it's like, well, they start showing up.
And if anybody has extra easels,
I'll bring a bunch.
I've got having a consultant bring us some too.
I have a bunch, so I'll bring easels. I'm not going to be using any of ours, but I'll bring them.
Bring them, because who knows who'll need them.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring my computer, so if anybody has any specific questions, I can pull up different stuff on the computer and show them.
Smart.
In the past, people have brought TVs to try and put on there so you can blow it up so you can see it easier, but that seemed like a lot of work, so.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm bringing two TVs.
Yeah. I'll have probably some stuff on easels, but I'll have my laptop and a monitor that I can zoom in on some for somebody if they want.
And we did check on making sure we have power available.
That's what I was going to say. I'll go check when I go back to see how many outlets there are. That's
a good idea.
Yes, there's only a couple.
I have a box of cords that I'm going to be bringing.
I did tell my folks that they have a table and two chairs as their booth. So that's what they're planning on, is having two chairs at each place.
There's no backdrops.
Yeah, no pipes and drapes, right?
Yeah.
So it's just, we need to have our own way to hang stuff up.
Yeah.
And they don't want you to put anything on the wall.
Okay.
So no thumbtacks or push pins, no tape.
A drill.
I can't mount my TV.
Yeah. We pay for that. I can put some drywall screws in the wall, can I? I think we're on spackle.
Yeah, we really appreciate the recommendations, Carol, that you've given, and willing to do the counting and everything. It's been awesome.
Great. Think of anything else I can help with, I'm happy to do it.
Thank you. We ducked about the transportation priority list. Let's go to projects, and then we'll be done. Brett, do you have anything you want to relay to this group about projects, updates that are going on in the county? You can say no, and Dan Jessen will be glad.
I cannot think of anything, unless there's any particular projects that you wanted to ask about.
Yes, ma'am. Dan? Carolyn?
No.
Kent? Cedar City?
I don't think I have anything to report on this time.
There's a lot of social media about the South Interchange.
Yeah, there's a lot.
On comments.
Is that going to drive, hopefully, is that going to drive people to the Transportation Expo? Because that's usually what you need, is something.
Controversial.
Yeah. Yes. And that's what Kimley Horn will be there for, is the South Interchange. That's
so, Rob, every time you see that on social media, just comment and say, find out more at the expo at the same time.
Well, some people have posted on, have commented on your post.
Oh.
And so that's good.
Yeah, I posted on Facebook.
Yeah.
The flyer that you sent out. So.
Oh, and great.
People. And some people commented and you said, come see.
Yeah.
Right? Well, we know that the Highway 91 resurfacing did not happen this year. Darn it. We wanted that so bad. So it'll start next year. Prairie Dogs. All because of Prairie Dogs. And October 1st.
So your bid's locked in, though?
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned Old Highway 91. So everyone here has heard that the part of Old Highway 91 in Cedar City from Main Street to the south is no longer called Old Highway 91, right?
Cedar Boulevard?
Cedar Boulevard, Boulevard. Until you get to the city limits, and then it goes back to Old Highway 91 in the county as you go on down.
Where is the exact cedar limits on that? Is it near the interchange?
You can't feel it when you're driving?
So it's... So do you know where Tipple Road is?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just beyond Tipple Road as you're heading down that way.
You won't know those things.
So it's a few hundred feet beyond Tipple Road is where the city boundary line is.
Okay.
You only notice when you leave the city of Enoch.
But we're actually, I think now that the bid's been approved and everything's ready to go, we're requesting from the contractor to go further north.
And I know we talked about the last meeting to coordinate on that.
So if the county wants more done, you need to work with us on that, okay?
Because that would that be the entire stretch of 91 along all of Enoch, or just?
Well, the project goes from the boundary of Cedar City and Enoch, which is right next to the, what is that?
The warehouse.
A little warehouse where they
RMC Foods.
RMC Foods.
Oh yeah.
It's just kind of a little warehouse there. North to just before Enoch Road. Go northbound. There's a culvert underneath 91, and it's on one side of that culvert to the north of it. And then we want them to go all the way to the boundary of Enoch, which is right after the entrance to the soccer field. And then the rest is county.
So on the south end, is there any reason we should be trying to coordinate that with
I don't know. That's division? You're driving on that road, you can tell exactly where Enoch City and Cedar City stops, or where that boundary is. Okay. You can tell on the road. Because going south or north on that portion that Cedar City owns, it's great. You don't have the, you know, the ruts. The snow melts like really quick on Cedar Cities. I don't know why, except for you guys maintained it over the 50 years that we didn't. Well, ours is just chip seal, chip seal, chip seal, chip seal, chip seal. You know, kind of like a tree, and it rains. You can tell how old the road is by how many chips have. Well, yours has a good base under it, and that was our issue.
Okay.
And it changes the way it melts?
It does.
Snow?
Yep.
I thought you were joking, and then no. I looked at your face, and I could tell you were not joking.
No, it really does. It's amazing, the difference. So.
Okay, so there's probably not a need to coordinate.
Personally, you might want to look at it in the winter, but I don't think there's any reason for you to do anything with it. Now, northbound, good luck. Because that, all the way to Summit. There are some portions that the Iron County Road Crew has done, which is just by doing a coat on it with a blade. And they did a fantastic job. And that area has been there for 5 years, and there's been no issues with it. Just surfacing it with a blade and some asphalt. They're really good. But between that and Enoch, it's chatterbox when you're... I mean, I'm exaggerating, but unless you got a truck full of cattle, it's not too bad. But
that's built-in speed control.
Yeah, that's what I say. People complain about the speed.
Hey,
speed
bump, just like the road.
Try just won't fix the road. People drive slower. And then I'm just always curious about SS4A grant, if that's ever going to get a response on that, but I guess we won't know for a while. Do you have anything you don't?
I don't think so. I think we've got our two studies, the South Parowan Interchange Study and the Cedar Interconnect Study, but I think we've recently had meetings and there's not much more to report on that most of everyone here was already involved in. So. Okay.
You didn't have any comments about that interconnectivity study at all, did you?
I had just some comments on some alignment stuff on that east alternative.
Mm. Yeah, Kim and I reached out just to Kent on that east connection because we weren't sure exactly how we wanted to model it and put it in there. So Kent.
So I sketched some stuff up and Jade incorporated it and sent it back. Said, "Is this what you meant?" And I said, "Yep." And
okay.
Yeah.
So are you sending a new thing?
And I had a I guess I do have an update. I had a conversation with Eric a little bit. And he's looking at it saying, okay, we're going to model this Bulldog Road, which is mostly already in the model for Iron County in the future. So if that one doesn't show any benefit, we may try and move it closer to I-15 and to where it goes underneath at Fiddler's. I can't remember what that road that goes north and south that connects into 3000 north. It's like 200 or 400 East or something?
You've got 100 East probably.
100 is the one you don't want.
That's the one we don't
want. Yeah, I think there's 400
West.
Isn't 400
North, 400 West.
West. Yeah, 400 West comes down and ties in with Fiddler, right?
It comes down and ties in by Canyon View High School.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so Canyon View. So we may look at that one if they do that and it's like there's no benefit to this at all on the regional model. We may shift it over and say, what if we approve this other one if to see if it shows any benefit? Which it's not as ideal and it's going to be more work, but we want to at least show an alternative that has benefits.
That there, when you come underneath the freeway and hit that T intersection there by the schools, that backs up a very long ways every morning right now.
Yeah, so
it's pretty bad.
So we'd have to do some
major
signal improvement and get rid of slope protection and put some additional lanes underneath there, and possibly, at least if we have it in the plan, when we do I-15, we could make that structure bigger to accommodate a future plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we want to look at that. If Bulldog Road's not really making a noticeable difference, we may want to look at that to say, would something there help? Do we want to put that in the plan? That was just a quick discussion I had with them that we might have to shift gears on if that doesn't show a difference. So.
Okay.
Well, thanks everybody. Next meeting is December 2nd in Enoch. So. And then our tech is in Enoch
in
November.
November.
And it's probably the last time you'll have soup. And
I look forward to that every year.
Because the mayor is no longer going to be with us. Unless he becomes our city attorney. We'll see.
Is that a possibility?
Uh-huh.
Was he the city attorney before?
No.
Is he an attorney?
Stop.
Yeah.
Recording stopped.
Yes.